Love. you fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival.
The love that you choose, oh. not faint.
All right, folks, we're just about ready to get started. So if you can find a seat for a moment. We're doing the tag team version this morning. So as you know, Pastor Keith and Claudia are taking advantage of some rest, which is a good thing. What I'd like to do is lead us into worship with some scripture, and then Brother Ken will, we'll worship. And then Brother Ken will do the church announcements, and if you haven't read the program, our guest speaker is Scott Schwartz. Okay. That's an awesome thing. Okay, so yesterday, we had the Trinity Men's Group had a guest who is a friend of Ken's of 50 years, and he did a presentation for us, everything from dinosaurs and fossils to the Lord God Almighty, and he's a believer, and he was sharing some of his testimony about the fact that the challenges that exist for someone who is a scientist by nature, yet has to contend for the faith among unbelievers. And that was fascinating. So after I went home last night, the Spirit put on my heart something that I'd like to share from Psalms before we begin worship. And you don't need to turn in your Bibles. The first Psalm I want to share with you is Psalm 14. And if you just listen to the words, it should touch you, okay? And it's a Psalm of David, and it's subtitled, The Folly and Wickedness of Man. This is from the Amplified. The spiritually ignorant fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed repulsive and unspeakable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand and act wisely, who truly seek after him, longing for his wisdom and his guidance. But they have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Have all the workers of wickedness and injustice no knowledge or understanding? Those who eat up my people like they eat a slice of bread? And don't call upon the Lord. There they tremble with great fear, for God is with the consistently righteous generation. You evildoers shamefully plan against the poor, but the Lord is their safe refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores his captive people. Then Jacob will rejoice and Israel shall be glad. That was then, and praise God that he did come out of Zion, and for the joy that was set before him, endured the shame and humiliation of the cross. On a much more, let's say, encouraging note, I'm just going to read from Hebrews 13 and one verse. Throughout the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, very often, and I sense this particularly in the last few months, a rising fervor in our worship collectively within our family of believers. And that's been on my heart, and I've shared that with Pastor, and I think it's evident to others. And throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, right through Revelation, we hear very often that God inhabits the praises of his people. And I love that. So in Hebrews chapter 13, one verse says, through him, therefore, let us at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Amen. Father God, so often our ability to articulate and express what's in our hearts to you is inadequate. And thank you that we have living within us your Spirit who makes those intercessions for us. Thank you, Lord, that you did indeed come out of Zion. Thank you that you are now seated at the right hand of the Father. And thank you that your Holy Spirit lives within us. And when we don't have the words and words are inadequate, he speaks to you on our behalf. Father, I always am thankful for the greatest sacrifice ever made, for your Son. I'm grateful for who we are in him. Let us be thankful for all that he does at your side on our behalf. He is our high priest. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He alone is worthy of all our praise. So this morning, we lift our hands and we open our hearts and we give you the praise that's due to you and you alone in that blessed name above all names. Amen.
Great, your love was greater. Oh, I could see. salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Crucifixion, by his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah, his life is destined. All praise to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Great music, great spirit in the house here. Bob Stewart, you're here.
Yes, Lord.
Woo. So good to see you. Wow. Amen. You shocked me there.
Anyways, it's great to have everybody here today. We're going to do a brief time out here, as we usually do, to greet one another. Kids can go off to the morning worship, and then I'll have a few announcements. So greet one another this morning. Okay, if everybody could get back to their seats. There's a few people that I haven't seen yet that I want to say hello to. All right, so we have a few announcements. First of all, I want to thank everybody who came out to the men's breakfast yesterday. And in particular, the servants who helped to serve. It was a great turnout, very good. Rob had mentioned there's a good friend of mine who came. I've known him over, close to 40 years. He's just got a really broad background in science and everything. He's a strong believer in the Lord, and he's had many challenges along the way because of his beliefs, as you might imagine. So he's teaching at a college right now. But anyways, he's a man of God who loves the Lord. And we had a great time with him yesterday. And I think if we can, since we kind of ran out of time yesterday, we may try and see if we can get him back for a little bit. So, but again, thank you to everyone who came, and certainly everyone who helped out with the breakfast. Okay, so next Sunday, we're going to have a special testimony time. As many of you probably know, yesterday was the coat drive for the Jersey Shore. Well, I want to say it's not Market Street Mission, Jersey Shore. Right. So do you have a count? Did we get a final count on how many coats were given? Okay. I'm sure there were a lot. If you've ever seen this operation, there's many volunteers who come out and many more people who come looking for clothing and, more importantly, the jackets that they need and hats and gloves and things like that for the winter season. Many people are homeless. Some others are not homeless. They just don't have the means to go out and buy clothing or the coats and the jackets and stuff like that. So anyways, all that stuff is donated. Some of the stuff is brand new. Like, it's amazing the things that people offer with that. So next week, we're going to have special testimonies to talk a little bit more about that. Second thing I wanted to talk about is the Angel Tree Ministry. So if everyone is not familiar, Angela. Yes, excellent. So the Angel Tree Ministry, for those of you who don't know what it is, it's a great outreach to the prison community. And what we do is we put together gifts for the children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews and things like that of inmates who are in the prison, who are being ministered to by Debbie and Phil Reardon. Debbie's first name previously was Debbie Carver. You probably know Bob Carver. A lot of people do. Anyways, they have a great ministry, and they've been able to reach out to the jail community, and they actually go in and minister to them. And one of the things that's really good is a lot of these guys have no means to try and give gifts to their kids. So we go out and we buy gifts on behalf of them, and we're actually able to either deliver it ourselves or have somebody deliver it for us to these families. So if you would like to participate in that, please do. There's a deadline of December 8th. Is that right, Angela?
The gifts have to be in by December 8th.
Right.
If they're going to sign up, it has to be today or we're done.
Okay.
Because I'm now assigning the people's children.
Okay. So see Angela. I think there's a sign-up sheet outside, too. You have it. Okay. All right. So, see Angela. See Angela after the service. And if you're interested in that, please do. Okay. Next announcement. We're having our Thanksgiving Eve service. It's Wednesday, November 27th. So it'll not be this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, 7 p.m. If you've never been to this before, it's great. We come together and we start sharing our thankfulness for all things that the Lord may have done for us over the past years. And as I'm looking around in particular in the church community right now, I see a lot of people who have many things to be thankful for. And so please come out and join us for that. That's the most important part. Pastor Keith will have a short message for us. And then the second most important part that is specifically mentioned here is coffee and pie. It's become a pie social at the end of the Thanksgiving service. So if you can come out and join us for that, all the pies will be provided. So if you're interested, again, it's really important to come out and talk about your thankfulness for the different things throughout the year. And certainly we most have many. Okay, the Women's Ministry Christmas Party is going to be Thursday, December 5th at the Miller's House. That sounds familiar. All right, so that's at 13 Emery Street in Howell. You're going to hear more about that. We're going to get something up on the website shortly, and then Sally, I think there is, she's busy. It goes from 7 to 9:30. Do you have a sign-up sheet out there?
Yes.
Okay, so there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. So women, if you're interested in that, this is a great time for me and Jonathan to get kicked out of the house and find something to do. And then the house is invaded by, I guess close to sometimes 25 to 30 women. It's quite busy. But Sally will explain the whole thing to you because you have a gift exchange. She'll tell you the whole thing. It's a lot of fun for the ladies, a lot of good time, a lot of fellowship, and encouragement to one another. So again, you can sign up in the lobby, and then it'll be up on the website as well fairly soon. So this is a really big thing. So the annual Trinity Kids Christmas presentation is scheduled for Sunday, December 22nd. So that's going to be the Sunday right prior to Christmas. So if you are interested, if you have children that might want to participate in that, the first practice is today. So they're going to be doing practices right up until it's the presentation time. And it'll be every Sunday they're going to have a practice after church. So if you're interested, if your children might be interested in participating in that, the first practice is today. If for some reason you have plans, you can't make it today, plan to be there next Sunday. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to try and get you all in there. And again, it'll be every Sunday up until the 22nd. Christmas Eve candlelight service. Similar to the Thanksgiving service, we have a special Christmas Eve candlelight service. We actually have candles that we present toward the end of the service, and we light them all together. House lights come down. It's beautiful. But the things that we sing about, the thing that we worship about the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth is just a wonderful thing and encouraging thing. So if you can, please come and join us for that. We don't have a time exactly set yet, but we'll have that. It's usually around 7 o'clock, so just be aware of that. And then Andrew, I have a note here too. Remember to take a blessing bag. So are there extra blessing bags out there? I saw three out there when I first came in. Okay. So anyway, so if you don't have a blessing bags are filled with toiletries and other essential items for people who are in need. But in addition to that, the gospel is also in there. And we have it. It's a grab and run kind of a thing. So if you have an opportunity, you're stopped at a traffic light, you see a person off to the side who may be asking for some assistance, or asking for money or things like that, the best thing you can give to them, one of the best things is this, because it'll have all the toiletries in there and other special things that they need. And again, the gospel is in that as well. If you have time to stand and share with people, certainly do that, if you can spend a little time with them too. But the blessing bags are an important part of our ministry here and an outreach, and it's kind of like something that Andrew and Elizabeth came up with, and we've been blessing people, quite a few people. We had a 600 blessing bag, right? And we're way past that, right? So we were going to give away 600 blessing bags this year, and we're over that already. Yeah, we'll be up there. Anyways, and all this stuff is donated either by cheap people in this church, other churches give us stuff, or we have other businesses maybe that kind of help to support us a little bit. So it's a very good thing. So with that, I am done with announcements, and now at this time, I am proud to hand the microphone over to our friend, Scott Schwartz from Life and Messiah. Life and Messiah is one of the ministries that we support. Scott reaches out to the Jewish community in Lakewood, but elsewhere as well. He travels around the country, even in different parts of the world. And so I just want to offer him the opportunity to share with us now. So, Scott, thank you for joining us, and blessings on your time today.
Shalom. Thank you. So, yeah, Brother mentioned Scott's going to be sharing, and there was a bunch of clapping, and I'm like, guys, come home and hang out with me for a little bit. You probably won't clap. Self-deprecating jokes. But it's great to be here. The church is growing. Like, look around. The church is growing. Praise the Lord. Amen. As I was sitting up there going over my notes once again, and I was listening to you guys, I thought to myself, this church really likes Jesus. This church not only likes Jesus, I think you guys love Jesus. Amen? It's just very encouraging to me and inspiring, and I get to, by God's grace, go around to various churches, and there's always different cultures, but today, there was no second guessing. You guys love the Lord. And as a result of being in ministry, you guys are a supporting church, and I just thought it'd be great for me to update you. You guys get our prayer letter, and we had a wonderful outreach here in the community. We were on the boardwalk in Jenkinson's, and we had a wonderful banner, sandwich board, and Israeli flag that said Christians Against Anti-Semitism. And yes, amen. And we had Jewish folks over and over and over again coming up to us and saying, wow, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because as we watch the news, anti-Semitism is at an all-time high. And we as the church, as followers of Jesus, God has put before us, you know, what Satan meant for evil, God wants to bring good out of it, right? And we have an open door right now to shine brightly for Jesus. And the light shines the brightest in the darkness, and it's very dark for the Jewish people. You might have heard in the news, Amsterdam, right? There was a soccer thing, and at Moody Bible Institute, I took a class on the Holocaust and the problem of evil. And when I heard the news reports of folks in Amsterdam hunting Jewish people, finding out where they were staying at the hotel, waiting for them to leave the game and hunting them. There's video of people being knocked out, people on the ground, unconscious, being kicked. I thought, wow, this looks like 1938. No, it's 2024. So your solidarity with the Jewish people really goes a long way. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's pray, and then we'll look at the scriptures together. So Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence, God. Thank you for Trinity Bible Church. Thank you for Keith. Thank you for Claudia. Thank you for their leadership, Lord. Thank you for this house where you are loved and lifted up, Lord. I pray that as we get into your word, as we see this wonderful narrative of your restoration of Peter, restoring him, Lord, that we would be ourselves restored, with joy and peace as we see your heart today. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So the title of my message is The Voice of the Shepherd. So The Voice of the Shepherd. If you have your Bible, I'd love for you, I don't want to tell you what to do, but I'm going to get your Bible out or your smartphone, because we're going to go through this text and I'd love for you to look at it. And when you look at the scriptures, that gives God an opportunity to speak to you. Words will jump out and God will comfort you. God will speak to you as you are in his word. So we're going to be in John chapter 21. I'm going to read a large portion of scripture. I'm going to read the first 19 verses, and then we will look at 3 points of encouragement for us this morning. So John chapter 21, we read these words. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. I wonder why, because he was a fisherman. He's doing what he did most of his life. Then they said to him, we are going with you also. You can tell right there that Peter's a leader, because people are following him right there. We are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Not a good day to be a fisherman, right? They caught nothing. Remember that. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Jesus is going to speak here, children, have you any food? This is so humbling for fishermen. It's very comical, right? They answered, no. Tough day for the fishermen. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they did what Jesus said. So they cast, and now they were unable to draw in because of the multitude of the fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and listen to this, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, come, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Didn't know Jesus was a chef. Not only is he the Messiah, but he's a chef. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish. I don't think that's an accident by the author here. He's making a point. This wasn't small little goldfish. It was large fish. Thank you, Jesus, for sending them large fish. God bears fruit. Not only a little fruit, he wants to bear lots of fruit. God wants to do good things in the lives of his people. Can I get an amen? Amen. And it also gives us here how many fish, like precisely 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Another little key. Nothing gets away from Jesus, right? He kept them all together. Nothing got away. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now, this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus says to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, "Follow me." What a magnificent narrative of Scripture, right? Very picturesque, right? You're probably thinking, like I do in your mind's eye, some water, the waves are lapping, the sun is coming up. It might be warm, it might be cool. There's a fire, you're smelling the aroma of these fish being cooked. There's fresh lechem, Hebrew for bread. It's a wonderful setting that God has set before us. So where are we in the story of Jesus and his disciples? To really understand the significance of what's happening here, we need to have a little bit of review. So I want to take us up to this point and find out why this dialogue is so significant for Peter and Jesus. So here we're coming to the end of Jesus's ministry. He's been arrested, he's been crucified, he's been buried, he's risen from the grave, and now there's 40 days that he's walking in his resurrected body, right? He's ministering, he's visiting various disciples. He has not left planet Earth. So I want us this morning to really focus. We're going to zero in on Jesus' interaction with Peter. It's safe to say, and you probably can also agree with me, that Peter had a special place in the heart of Jesus, right? I know that God doesn't have favorites, right? We're not supposed to have favorite kids. I won't tell you if I have a favorite, because if my wife listens to the message, she'll get upset with me. Because we're not supposed to have favorites. God doesn't have favorites, but I think he really, really had a special place in his heart for Peter. So let's briefly look at the timeline of Jesus' invitation to Peter to become a disciple. So at this point of the story, Jesus has been ministering for 3 years, right? He's been ministering for 3 years. He grows up in the home of a carpenter. Miriam and Yosef were his parents. And he was a good boy. He was a good Jewish boy. He was in the temple, had his bar mitzvah, studied the Torah. He was a good Jewish young man. And then God thrust him into the ministry and calls 12 men to follow him, to walk with him, to watch him, to then go and be the hands and feet to a lost world. So Peter here, he's been listening, he's been learning, he's been watching Jesus minister to, as I mentioned, a broken world. How would I have loved, and maybe some of you would have loved to been there, right? We have the text, we get to see in to what went on while Jesus was with his disciples, right? I would have loved to maybe hear a little bit of the extra stuff, like the disciples murmuring and, you know, fighting and he likes me better. No, he likes me. You know, he sat next to me last Shabbat. He didn't sit next to you. All right, get over it, right? The Chosen really shows a little bit of that, the human side of things, which is really wonderful. But Peter here, he's listening, he's learning, he's watching. Here, Peter is walking with God in the flesh. This is Jesus. If people say to me, what is God like? You know, I said, look at the teachings of Jesus, right? If you've seen me, you've seen what? The Father. Amen. So Peter had that privilege, and God shares that story with us. Jesus first calls Peter back in chapter 1 of John's Gospel. In Matthew 4, it says this. So we're going back to the first interaction with Peter and Jesus, right? So we're going back 3 years to Matthew 4, 18 through 20 says this. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. As we read the Gospels, we see that Peter had stumbled along the way. So at this point here, we just looked at this passage. Jesus has called Peter to follow him. And if you read the Gospels, you realize Peter is open foot, insert mouth, right? Peter was very impulsive. Peter probably would be diagnosed with ADHD. Peter's my brother. I have ADHD. What did you say? Sorry. Peter was incredibly impulsive, full of passion, right? Full of passion, wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to follow the Lord, wanting to love the Lord. So how do we know that he stumbled? Well, Scripture tells us. It says that when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, right, there were a few things that happened. They come to arrest Jesus. What does Peter do? He takes his sword out of his sheath, and he cuts the soldier's ear off. Jesus was probably like, Peter, come on, bro. What are you doing? He goes. He picks the bloody ear off. I'm really sorry for him. And he heals the servant. And the Lord instructs Peter, okay, if I wanted to, I don't need your help on this one. There is a legion of angels that I could call down. But we see Peter's passion, right? This all culminates when Peter denies Jesus 3 times when pressed by the crowd in the courtyard. So Peter's stumbling culminates when Jesus, after this point, Peter cuts the ear off. They drag Jesus away. He's getting ready to go on trial. And the part of Scripture tells us that there's a fire, right? They're gathered around. And one girl speaks up and says, don't you know? Didn't I see you with that Galilean? Right? You can see the Scripture. Peter's like, I don't know the man. He's actually denying Jesus. He's actually, in a way, embarrassed about Jesus. Funny story, I was just at the Seagirt Starbucks working on my message, and a brother in the Lord was there, and I knocked on the window before I came in. He's like, yo, bro, hey, Sky. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, I was going to work on my message. What are you doing? I'm putting together a proposal for construction. I said, awesome, great to see you. How's it going? Awesome. We're Eagles fans. We're conversing. Aren't the Eagles great? Yep, fly, Eagles, fly. He said, praise the Lord. Then his cookie gets called, so his son Micah runs over and gets the cookie, and a guy standing there says, oh, wow, your son's so cute. How old is your son? He says, he's 4. He says, wow, he's huge. He's a big guy. I'm like, well, look at this brother. He's big. He's like 6'4", construction dude. And the guy says, my son's 4. So immediately there's a connection, kid. And our brother takes that opportunity to go right for the gospel. I mean, he went right for it. And I'm like, oh, chicken nuggets. He went right for it. And he's like, this is my brother, Scott. He goes to church. I'm like, hey, bro. We know each other from church, he says. I'm like, hi. And he's like, do you go to church? He's like, well, it's funny that you say that. You know, my wife and I have been dialoguing. She grew up Catholic. I grew up Presbyterian. I think, you know, it'd be good for us to raise our kids with some type of foundation. My brother's like, that's really great. So they're finishing their conversation. And the one guy says, hey, I got to go. And he says, all right. He says, can we pray for you? And the guy's like, yeah, sure. I'd love if you prayed for me. And he takes a step away. And our brother lays his hand on him. The guy goes, you mean now? And I'm like, oh, chicken nuggets. And we're in the middle of Starbucks, right? And I'm going to be honest. I felt a little shy. I was like, okay, we're going to pray. I'm like, nobody knows me. But I was a little bit embarrassed. But I shouldn't have been, right? Maybe some say it was a little awkward, maybe take his number, pray for him. But I could identify with Peter, right? I had to check my heart, right? Man, it was great. My brother's praying for this guy, right? This guy needed prayer. He needed guidance. He was shepherding this brother who needed some guidance. So I could identify here with this passage and with what just happened to me actually 2 days ago. So here in Luke 22, we see this denial by Peter. Luke 22 says this. Here's the narrative. Man, so he says, do you know him? Twice he says, do you know him? He said, no. And then says, a little while later, another crowd came. Do you know this man? He says, no. And Luke 22, Peter is asked again, do you know Jesus? Peter says, man, I do not know what you are talking about, right? I don't know what you're talking about. I do not know this man. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine the scene? If you have any level of compassion in your heart's like, oh, Peter, I'm so sorry, bro. But the Lord looked at Peter. We don't know what's going on in that glance. But I know, and you know, that our God is a gracious God. Amen? And it was probably a look of sadness. And that's the last time that Peter sees Jesus until we come to this narrative. He had denied his Lord. And it says this, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, quote, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Right? He's remembering that Jesus said, no, you will deny me. Because Peter's like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And we're going to do all these exploits for you, Lord. We're going to bring in the kingdom. And Jesus is graciously saying, Peter, you really don't know much about the kingdom right now. You are actually going to deny me. He was kind of putting him in his place graciously and being trying to model humility for Peter. So before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. This here, ladies and gentlemen, is the backdrop of this wonderful narrative that we find ourselves in John 21. We're going to see 3 things from this passage of scripture. These 19 verses in John 21, we're going to see 3 things. We're going to see what it means to hear the voice of the Lord. We're going to see that the voice of the Lord is gracious. And third, we're going to see the voice of the Lord restores. Amen. What it means to hear the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is gracious, and the voice of the Lord restores. Listening to the voice of the Lord. Listening to the voice of the Lord bears fruit. How do I know that? Well, our text says, as we read earlier, then they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. As we mentioned, not a good night for fishermen. Would you agree? Not a good night. And they hear this voice. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. And when morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any food?" They answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. They yielded to his voice, and they went from having nothing to 153 fish. Amen? When you listen to God's voice, no matter what's going on in your life, you can trust that voice. It will take you to a place that bears fruit. Amen? And we see that right here in the scriptures. John 10 says this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands." What a promise, amen? What a promise. When faced with decisions in life, sometimes we might not know what to do, right? There's crossroads. I might have shared this before, but a group of Bible students asked Elizabeth Elliot, "How do you know the will of God?" She says, "Do the next thing," right? Just do the next thing. But sometimes we are at a crossroad and we don't know what to do. God's voice will guide us. We can be sure of it. Amen? Isaiah 30 says this, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' When you turn to the right hand or whatever you turn to the left, you will hear this voice, 'Walk in it.'" Just recently, I was met with a big decision in my life. I didn't know what to do. It was a big step of faith. I asked the Lord, "You have to show me what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm desperate. I'm anxious. I'm confused. What shall I do?" And I will tell you, as surely as I'm standing here, God settled my heart, a peace came over me, and the Lord said to me, "I'm with you. You're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay." And it was rough. There were things that didn't look like it was gonna work out. Things actually got worse, and I'm like, "Oh, my chicken nuggets." Think of this: if you're in Manasquan and you're swimming and there's this rip current, right? And you're being pulled out and you start to panic. And a guy in a helicopter calls down and says, "You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay." As you drift further and further and further away from the shore, he says, "You're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to get worse before it gets better." What are you thinking to yourself? How can this be? How can this be? And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And before you know it, you come out of the rip current and you sweep away and you're back at the shore. Right? That's what happened with me. I had to hear God's voice. God's voice spoke to me. And I walked with him and I got through the other side and shalom came. Amen? Peace came. But I was only able to do it because I listened to the voice of the Lord. Amen? Because God is a shepherd. God is a good shepherd. And he will shepherd each and every one of us. You will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." So after they cast the net on the other side of the boat, it says, John notices a familiar voice and says to Peter, "It's the Lord." Right? So we're back in the story. They're on the boat. They've caught nothing. A voice comes and says, "Have you caught anything?" Proud, strong fishermen say, "No." The voice says, "Cast your net onto the other side of the boat." They do. They listen to the voice. Boom, 153. Can you imagine? Like, I think they had to deal with pride right there. Like, oh, someone else had to tell me. Like, right? Husbands and wives, no husband likes to have your wife tell you, like, "I told you so," right? Right? But we listen to our wives. Behind every okay man is a great woman. But here, these strong, tough, manly men are having to listen to instructions from outside of their profession. And they are listening to this voice, and it's Jesus. They yield 153 fish miraculously appear. And after they cast their net on the other side of the boat, it says, John notices a familiar voice and says to Peter, "It's the Lord." Why was it such a shock that it's the Lord? Because they had not seen him since the crucifixion. And they probably were waiting, where is our Lord? Where is he? Where is he? Is he gonna do everything he said? All these things that he gave us, they're just kind of vague, right? The Spirit would then be poured out and everything would be made clear. Remember when Jesus was walking with the two men on the road to Emmaus? And after Jesus left, it said, oh my gosh, wow, we just were with the Messiah, and it all makes sense. So Peter, it says, take note of Peter's response. He puts on his outer garment and jumps into the water to get to Jesus. Peter is pretty passionate, right? Would you agree with me? About 2 weeks have gone by, right, between Peter's denial of Jesus and this moment right here. That's 14 days of seeing that glance by Jesus and wondering, does he forgive me? Does he still love me? Am I going to be okay? I mean, this is human emotion, right? These are men and women that have heartbeats like us, that have emotions like us, that have hopes like us, that have fears like us. And God puts these folks in the pages of Scripture so that we can relate to them. Amen? And we can see Jesus reaching out his hand and dealing with folks that need guidance and need comfort. So note Peter's response. He puts on his outer garment and jumps into the water to get to Jesus. No words have been exchanged between Peter and Jesus over these last 2 weeks. The last thing we see Peter doing is going out and weeping bitterly, right? That says it all. Peter is heartbroken. Peter is devastated that he has denied the Messiah. He's so desperate to see Jesus that he jumps in the water. I mean, what a picture. The text tells us that he jumps in the water and the other disciples take the boat. Peter's like, I'm not waiting for the boat. I'm jumping in. I need to be with Jesus. I need to see Jesus. I need to have like this assurance, right? My wife says to me, do you love me? And I'm like, I love you. I told you this morning. Well, that was this morning. Do you love me now? Yes, I love you. We need assurance, don't we? Peter needed assurance from Jesus. He's so desperate that he jumps in the water. Peter is so filled with emotion and so eager to see Jesus that he jumps out of the boat, swims to the shore. He probably says to himself, I can swim to the shore faster than this boat can get me there. That communicates the desperateness, if that's a word, how desperate Peter was to see Jesus, to talk to Jesus, to be reassured by Jesus that everything was okay between the two of them. Verse 10 shows us the over-the-top grace of Jesus. So the disciples have been fishing all night, right? They're toiling. Their arms are probably sore. They've given out a lot of energy. They're probably hungry. It's now sunrise. They go to the shore. And think of the scene. What does Jesus have set for them? He has set for them a fire of coals. Fish is cooking. Bread is baking. What a scene. So disarming, right? God is disarming them. He's being so gracious, he's setting a table before them. Jesus here, it says that he blessed the bread and the fish, modeling humility to the disciples, that he was lifting his eyes to heaven and thanking his Father in heaven. And he probably said this blessing. I'll get a little Jewish for you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has brought bread, who brings forth bread from the earth. Verse 15, after they had eaten breakfast, Jesus engages Peter and asks him the first of three times, do you love me more than these? Many scholars, you're looking in here at this text, what are the these, right, that Peter is referring to? Is it the fish that they had just caught? Do you love me more than your profession? Could it be the disciples? Do you love me more than disciples? Well, the text doesn't tell us. I think, again, there maybe was some secret conversations going on behind the scenes that I would have liked to be a fly on the wall to see really what Jesus was getting at. But here, Jesus pulls Peter aside and is getting ready to minister to him comfort and restoration. So second, what else do we see in this passage? Not only do we see that listening to the voice of the Lord bears fruit, but we see here the voice of the Lord is gracious. So after breakfast, Yeshua takes Peter to the side, right? They're fishing. He jumps in the water. They have breakfast. And the boss calls him to the side. He calls him to the side. You can imagine the scene in your mind. Peter is distraught over letting the Lord down, right? Again, the last thing we saw is that Peter went out and wept bitterly. And there's that 2 weeks of tension. 2 weeks of tension. Where do I stand with the Messiah? Where do I stand with the Messiah? Jesus knows this. He sees into Peter's soul and speaks to him words of restoration. Peter, I'm not done with you. I'm not casting you to the side. No, Peter, just the opposite. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Shepherd my children with my love and with my truth and with my gospel. Right? The legalistic part, the judgment part of ourselves, of our flesh, would say, you deserve it, Peter. Right? You denied Jesus, you're done, right? You're cast, you're put on the shelf. But just the opposite. Jesus is so tender and gracious with Peter. The God of Israel deals tenderly with me and with you. Isaiah 42:3 says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. Aren't you glad that when you are in a desperate situation and you are distraught and you are struggling and maybe your faith is waning and you think, without faith it's impossible to please God. God must be angry with me. I don't know if you're crazy. I'm bearing my soul here. These things pass through our minds. God, are you mad at me? But we can trust in the scriptures. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. God is the God of second chances. Amen? We see this in Peter's life. And thirdly, the voice of the Lord restores. As I was talking with Pastor Keith in the office earlier this week, he was telling me, this is what's going on in the church. And I'm like, what's going on? What kind of outreach are you doing? He's like, Andrew and Elizabeth are getting ready to go and share coats with the less fortunate. And I was truly inspired. I am truly inspired by this church and your love for the least of these. Your leadership is inspiring. Your church is inspiring. Your love for the lost is inspiring. And there are times I'll be vulnerable, and maybe you can agree with me. If you do, come up and say, you're not crazy. I have these thoughts sometimes, Scott. Sometimes you think, man, that person is beyond the reach of the Lord, right? They're too far gone. They're too addicted. They can't be reached. But they can be reached because God's love knows no bounds. If ever I'm tempted to think that someone is beyond the reach of God's love, the Lord reminds me of Paul, right? Paul was a murderer, right? He signed off on the murder of followers of Messiah. You would think God's like, I'm judging you, you're done, you're finished. but he forgives. He meets Paul. He reveals himself to Paul. Paul becomes restored. Paul becomes born again, right? And becomes a child of God. And not only that, God calls Paul into the ministry. Amen? It's a beautiful, beautiful story of God's grace. And this narrative, coming to an end here, this narrative comes full circle. It's a beautiful picture of God's restoration in Peter's life. Jesus called Peter while he was fishing, right? There's a parallel here. We go back 3 years prior. Where did God call Peter? While he was fishing. It's a beautiful picture of God's restoration in Peter's life. Jesus called Peter while he was fishing. Peter was minding his own business, tending the business of fishing, and Jesus comes into Peter's life and says, "Follow me." 3 years later, the calling doesn't change. How did this narrative end? After he has this conversation with Peter and he asks him, "Do you love me?" He says, "You know that I love you." God says, "Then I want you to work for me. I want you to feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter?" "Come on, Lord, you know that I love you." "Okay, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Go work in the ministry. Partner with me to bring the kingdom of God into people's lives." And a third time he asked him, "Do you love me?" And Peter was grieved. He says, "Lord, you know all things." At this point, Peter is completely humbled and completely empty. There's no more pull the sword, kaboom, right? There's none of that. There's humility, there's brokenness, there's beauty that's happening in Peter's life right before Jesus. And the calling doesn't change. The mistakes, the blunders, the lack of faith, none of these things change the calling on Peter's life. At the end of the narrative, Jesus says once again, like he did 3 years prior, the end of this passage, Jesus says, "Follow me." I don't know about you, but that is beautiful to me. It comes full circle. God had called Peter. Peter walks with Jesus. He stumbles. He fails. He falters. He denies his Lord. He's in distress. He's weeping. 2 weeks of tension. And he meets with Jesus again. Jesus pulls him aside and speaks these wonderful words of comfort. God calls me and you as well. Not only Peter, but God calls me and you to be fishers of men. As we bring people back to God, as we hand out coats, the people that are needing a coat, people that need blessing bags, right? I need a blessing bag. I'm out of toothpaste. True story. I will. You know, I'll end on this. A few weeks ago, we had a Life Staff outreach. We had Life Staff from Seattle. We had Life Staff from North Carolina. We had Life Staff from various parts of the country to come and partner here. I led an outreach in Brooklyn and Lakewood to the Jewish community. And I charged each one of them, like, "Can you do a devotion? Can you do a devotion? Can you do a devotion? Can you do a devotion?" They said, "Sure." And on the final day of ministry, my brother and colleague Serge gave a devotion out of this very passage. And he said, "We're all here doing the work of evangelism. We are sharing the good news with people. We are sharing with folks that are in darkness, that need the light of Messiah in their lives. We are sharing with them how to come into a right relationship with God and have the shalom that he promises," right? And he says, "But not only are we evangelists sharing the gospel, we're also shepherds as we evangelize," right? We're all shepherds when we evangelize. Why? Because we are evangelizing or reaching out to people that are broken, that are confused, that are beat up, that are battered, that are broken reeds and a smoking flax. And God doesn't say, "I'm going to break you. You're broken. You know, you're just barely making it. I'm going to." No, God is gracious. God is tender. God is compassionate. And God invites us to partner with him in bringing the lost sheep back into God's pasture. Amen? God's green pastures, places of peace. God calls us to bring people the message of the gospel. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, right? The shepherd of our souls calls us to shepherd lost souls. That's our calling. And finally, Philippians 1:6, when you think maybe you've been on the shelf and you've walked too far away from God, or you're ministering to someone and they say, I'm too far from God, Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Messiah Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful narrative that is so descriptive and so vivid, God. We don't have to wonder how you deal and operate in the lives of men and women. We see it right here before us in your wonderful word. God, would you encourage us, Lord, with this message? We thank you, God. We worship you as a church for your grace, for your compassion, for the example of your tender care. Thank you, Lord, that we can hear your voice. Thank you that your voice is gracious. And thank you that your voice restores. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thanks, guys. That's it. I didn't know if anyone was coming up. That's it. Space for you to come and have your way.
My heart is open wide.